Okay, you're back on Thacknology. Been a while, hasn't it? Today, it's been worth the wait. Rachel Sparacio Foster from Fresh Perspective Copywriting has been in the business for almost 15 years, working with tech clients and anyone who wants the highest quality of content creation. She's here for you. Today, we're going to be talking about AI, which is what everybody else has been talking about for the vast majority of time lately. ChatGPT, all of the work around task-based autonomous AI agents. We've got a lot to talk about, and I think there's going to be a lot of value here if you are either a content creator or developer, or you are looking for someone to help you chart these uncertain waters of today into tomorrow. Hope you enjoy the show. Any questions, drop me a line, dave@wordofmouth.com, and also have a word with Rachel. She'd be only too happy to work with you. Without further ado, here we go. What better place to start than that we introduce ourselves? And because I'm a gentleman and oh so chivalrous, why don't we hand it over to our in-house resident expert of all things copyright. So Rachel, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Rachel Sparacio Foster, and my company is Fresh Perspective Copywriting, and I write copy for B2B tech companies. And I've been doing that since 2009.
That's happy 15th anniversary next year.
Thanks.
Time has kind of flown, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. Well, I run a business, Word and Mouth. I get involved in content, and this is where Rachel and my journey began together many, many years ago. Was it social media? I want to say social media marketing world, when social media was a brand new thing. Was that? It was Michael Steltner, wasn't it, the guy who ran that?
Yeah.
And that's what's terrifying is that, you know, I look back and it feels like a blink of an eye, but that was so many years ago. We were probably both at the beginning of our fact finding in terms of where this crazy old world was going to take us. And now we're here talking about the, again, weird wide world of ChatGPT and artificial intelligence and how it's affecting us as content creators and copywriters. So, wow. Well, thank you for joining, Rachel, and thanks for having this conversation and seeing where it goes. And we've got quite a lot to sort of talk through today. And I wanted this to be a real sort of basic introduction for everyone and probably ourselves. And I know I'm going to learn a lot from you because I always do. But in terms of where we have got so far with it ourselves, you know, I especially long in the tooth, and I mean that in a veteran way, and I don't mean that in a you have got any less experience, I feel old way of being a content creator, content developer, managing content, strategy for content and stuff. And so I saw AI and I saw ChatGPT coming for a long while, Sam Altman obviously being the guy behind OpenAI, which was the precursor to ChatGPT. And I'm thinking this could take us anywhere. And if you listen to the mainstream media, it already has. If you take a rational judgment on where we are right now, it's got a long way to go. I'm seeing a lot of opportunity, but I'm also seeing a whole lot of flaws. So I'll go back to you, Rachel, on this. You've taken a look around, you've spun the tires, but I'd like to get a sense of where you feel we are in terms of its applicability to the working world now. Do you think we're at a place where we can kind of start relying on AI, or like myself, do you think we've got a fair way to go?
I don't know if I would. Well, it depends. Like, there are certain tools I've been using for a long time, like Grammarly for proofreading, and I find that one to be really good. Although I use Grammarly before I send a draft to a client, but then for the final copy, I always have my proofreading team of actual people take a look at it. And but it is a good tool. And then moving into like things like subject line graders, headline graders, I've been using those for a while. And then I've been experimenting too in ChatGPT. I definitely can't rely on it at this point because there's so many unknowns, but you know, there are some useful use cases for it.
That's interesting. Now, I hadn't really even considered the likes of Grammarly and all of the tools that went before. It's funny, isn't it? It's almost like this flashpoint where AI becomes the center of conversation and everything that went before it just completely vanishes into the background. And I'm thinking now, I'm like, wow, it's like we had a lot of help. We had a lot of support. And actually, in many ways then, correct me if I'm wrong, in many ways by becoming more reliant on AI or thinking that AI is the future and forgetting all the stuff that got us here. A lot of the stuff that got us here, though it was quite restrictive, and I see AI as being abundant, but abundant in its flaws as well as abundant in the opportunity. By forgetting a lot of the tools that weren't what we would consider conventional AI, those were the things that we kind of could rely on. And now we've entered into this weird world of, should I?
Yeah.
So talk us through your workflow a little bit then, in terms of you obviously do a great job without it and you continue to do a fabulous job without it. I noticed you did a post on LinkedIn fairly recently as well to this, which, you know, I don't know if you can cast your memory back to it or whether I'm just asking you to be all spontaneous. What does your workflow typically look like when you're working for a client? And at the end of that, how do you think that your workflow could be improved for the benefit of your client by using AI as it is today with all of its flaws?
Yeah, so typically with my workflow, let's say I'm writing like a white paper for a client. So it usually starts out with collecting the background information, interviewing their subject matter experts, and then putting an outline together. And then once that's approved, I'll go into draft and then final edits and proofreading. So there are some things, one of the limitations with the AI is that, you know, the subject matter expertise, it just kind of, you could put a prompt in the AI and then it goes out into the web and it collects all this information. It collects information that's already on the web. So it lacks that thought leadership. And you still need to add that in. You need to add in, you know, your voice of customer data and your own internal research and thoughts to really make the content stand out. Although AI could be useful in some areas, like for me, I find it useful in like email subject lines, getting ideas for headers and titles and things like that. I haven't really delved into it for like a lot of copy. Like I did some experiments on my own, nothing I've used with clients. And the writing was, you know, it still needed a lot of edits, but it was kind of useful in generating ideas. Although I'm very, very hesitant to use it for client work because there's a lot of, you know, questions around, you know, who owns a copy, where is the AI getting the information from? You know, if I use it without editing it heavily, is it going to, you know, belong to somebody else out there? We don't know.
That's so interesting about the IP challenge of the future. You can almost imagine 2 or 3 years time, somebody now is carefully collecting all of these examples and all of a sudden there's going to be a class action lawsuit and everybody is going to get sued. I mean, that is just one of many questions. It's a hypothesis. It's not been proven. Everybody's saying, oh, it's all about Creative Commons. Don't worry about it. And, you know, I've got my concerns. I saw there was a guy who put together an AI generated compendium of lyrics from Drake and the Weeknd, and straight away a record label was begging the streaming services to ban AI generated music. The genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah,
and that's the danger, right? It's like, okay, people are like, okay, well, we can regulate this. And I'm a regular listener to All In podcast with Jason Calacanis and his friends. And the most of last week's episode was occupied by how do we regulate this? And the abiding fear is that if we go heavy-handed on this as a nation, then you can guarantee that every other nation on earth will be looking to steal our thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, you know, ethics is one thing. Regulation is a very dicey proposition. I always remember when I remember, and this is how I know I'm old. I'm talking about remembering fondly, and it was probably about 4 weeks ago. I remember starting using AI and doing some very indelicate prompt engineering to generate a playlist for my radio show that week and being wowed by it. I always feel like there's a catalyst for interest in AI. It always starts with, wow. It's like the first time you used a toaster. My God, hot bread. Incredible. Can you remember one example or when you first switched onto AI? Was there something about it that gave you that eureka moment? You thought this has got the potential to be something special, or are you not there yet?
No, I definitely think it could be something special, and probably similar to you with, you know, putting together a playlist in Spotify, where I'll start a playlist with a couple of songs and then it will populate it with all kinds of related songs. I'm like, yeah, I really do like this music, you know.
Amazing. No, I did. When we obviously you're in Canada and I'm coming to Canada in the autumn, and I remember I jumped on Bing because of Bing's running ChatGPT-4 playground at open.ai.com, or the chat feature in OpenAI is still on 3.5. So you're getting kind of the very latest version. That's because Microsoft has invested significantly in OpenAI. I remember going in there and saying, can you arrange for me a 2-week itinerary traveling Canada? And terrible memory, it's not got the whole cache thing down yet. So you'll be asking a question and it'll come back with what seems to be quite a measured response, but you know it's not quite there. So you're asking a follow-up question, a clarifying question. And depending on whether it's a good day or not, the AI will either respond with something that's linked to what you've asked before, or it just goes off in a totally different direction. So if you're coding, you can imagine that could be quite an arduous task. It's kind of, how do you square the circle when the computer can't keep up with you? Which is a little bit dicey. I loved what you were saying about sort of ideation. That's something for me is, and speaking to your clients, and which might actually help you work more efficiently. And it certainly helps me. And we've tried this in a couple of different guys as well. I'll say to people, okay, well, if you're still trying to figure out exactly what it is that you want to say, then why don't we co-create something through ChatGPT, see what the responses are like, be the ignition, because especially in my past as a consultant, a lot of my time is spent being the agitator rather than the actual solution. Is that people typically know what the answers are, they're just not really sure how to express them. And there's no need for writer's block anymore, is there? Because, you know, at the end of the day, there's millions and billions and trillions of parameters out there. The chances are that by using ChatGPT, you're going to find the start of what might be a fabulous journey in a totally different direction to what you planned. Have you got to the point yet where you've started to sort of, have you got anything unexpected out of it in that sort of copywriting guise, or again, is it still too early for that?
No, I've definitely gotten a lot of great headers and email subject lines. You know, I'll put in the article or the email and say, you know, write 10 headers, write 10 subject lines. And I could be more specific than that if I'm looking for something specific. And I could even put in formulas, like if there's a subject line formula where I want to say like first name and then use how to and then benefit. So it will go through and it will write me like 10 subject lines with the person's first name and how to achieve this and then give me 10 different benefits. So maybe like 8 of them I won't like, but there'll be 2 that I could, that'd be like, oh yeah, that's interesting. I could see where I can go from this, and I tweak it and use it. And for my own email list, I've been finding that the subject lines that where I use AI as a starting point, they've been getting very similar open rates to the emails that I wrote before trying ChatGPT.
Oh, it's quality in, quality out, isn't it? At the end of the day, I think where I've used it, because I work in the world of APIs, application programming interfaces. So essentially, you know, every time you make put something into an address bar of your web browser, you are essentially querying a database somewhere. So that's an API. But when I've been trying to get simple with quite complex subjects, I found thinking for the algorithm to be a really good device in explaining it to humans, because we talk a lot about teach me like I'm 5. That's quite a sort of a trope over here in the UK. It's like, right, imagine that I've never even considered this subject before. How do I understand it? And I feel like when I'm querying ChatGPT or Bing Chat. I'm doing that a lot. I'm being a lot more measured, and perhaps I'm maybe over communicating, because I'm not expecting the computer to pick this up from scratch. I've got a certain angle that I want to explore. I don't just want that average answer. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking maybe, you know, we perhaps, whatever the future holds, I think there's two things here for me. It's A, I think we could all learn better prompt engineering, and there's a lot of places on the web. But actually, I think, Rachel, I think we can kind of learn that from you, because just by the workflow that we've discussed and how you approach the task, that sometimes is exactly what the computer needs, but it's not what the client or how the client would necessarily think. It's how a professional like yourself forces yourself to think to get the output that your client needs. So there's prompt engineering for me, and there's also project management. So I think, and this is purely because, you know, there's going to come a day where there will be multiple AI agents, as there are with, I think it's Auto GPT now and Baby AGI, which is artificial general intelligence. There are these two apps now that kind of will chain together sequences of requests for AI assistance, mm-hmm. and then constantly, recursively be updating the task list based on the responses that those agents generate, which is why I'm saying that I think project management is going to be really important, as well as prompt engineering, to actually get the most out of our future overlords. Have you got any tips for your clients who are looking to use these AIs in any of the ways that we've discussed to actually come to you perhaps with a more refined brief that may or may not end up with, you know, an even better outcome than what they're expecting?
Well, I think before any client uses it, they have to have that conversation internally where if they can they use it, you know, are they, you know, look into the legalities of it, not just like who's going to own the copy, but can you put something that's protected by an NDA into do you want to put it into AI? Because I don't know what the AI is going to do with that information after you put it in there. So if I'm writing, you know, a white paper about something totally new and it's under NDA and they can't talk about it until a certain date, then do I want to stick that into ChatGPT? I don't know. So that's the first thing I think they should do. But, you know, just have that conversation. And then beyond that, if they do want to pursue using it, just, you know, think about how they would like to use it, which of their content they feel safe putting into the AI.
Do you see your services, or do you see the way you'll work being in any way modified or improved or changed by these new opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I've saved some time on like coming up with ideas, and I think that's where it's helpful. And the other way I've used it, where I found it really interesting, was for audience research. So I put in a prompt and I said, like, tell me what it's like for a CIO to wake up and then realize that their company was hacked. So it came up with this little story. And because I've been in the, you know, the tech field for a long time, I knew that what it was telling me was accurate. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's accurate. And then there was one point in there, I'm like, I haven't thought about that point before. So that's something for me to think about. So even though I wouldn't necessarily use that text word for word in any copy, it's interesting to inform what I write. And that's, I find that very useful.
Wow, that is interesting. And I was really intrigued by the open rates you were talking about as well, for subject lines and things. And it's like, there's some good opportunities now, aren't there, to actually put the rubber to the road and test what we are getting from these new servants of ours out there in the cloud. And I think this highlights for me, Rachel, and it's so good and so timely that you raise this. I think as clients or as just content recipients or creators, I don't think necessarily we do enough testing and research. And I think potentially, because we know that there are guardrails and we know that it ain't always going to be right, that actually, instead of just assuming that whoever created this content has done their research and has got it right, maybe this new requirement for diligence is actually going to end up creating more authentic, more correct, more accurate copy as well into the future. So the more we get the AI involved, maybe the more involved we're going to be. It's this whole human plus approach that I think we're all kind of thinking now, is that, you know, there's no room for an AI only endeavor. This is us doing better work in mm-hmm. some way with the addition of the AI. Have you done any work yet in terms of, have you made any use at all yet of the image generation via AI, whether it's DALL-E or Stable Diffusion or Mid Journey, any of those pretending to be true?
No, I'm not a graphics person. I'm not sure if my web developer is using it or anything. I'll have to ask her about that. But yeah, I've definitely seen some very interesting images. Like, you kind of look at them and at first they look realistic, but if you look closely, then there's some weirdness about them. Like, I saw one of like cats in a parade, and like they had these leashes, but the leashes were like attached to like other cats, and it was just very, very weird.
People with 9 fingers on one hand, and you're like, there's something amiss here. Yeah. Spot the difference. You know, this is a different race. It's great. I think the fact that the genie's out of the bottle, I think that's something that we all need to be aware of. And there seems to be this great arms race with every SaaS application now, that there's always going to be an AI add-on. They're largely the same. There's very few. These AIs are based, as we both know, on large language models, LLMs, and until the likes of Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, until they release the fire hose of this data, which, let's be honest, not in a million years, because that is their IP, that's what they meant the money from, but we are still limited. I know Quora, through a web application called poe.com, is starting to sort of set free its own data. Quora, obviously, a massive question and answer website. I think as soon as we start seeing any kind of integration of these social media LLMs, that, you know, it's really going to start setting the world on fire, because then we start to understand human consciousness a little bit better. It's not just about information, it's about people's feelings and sentiments, and, you know, we can start adding some sort of color to what is still quite a black and white impression of the world. That's going to get great if it ever happens, who knows, but it's going to be a good ride kind of getting there. Any closing thoughts, Rachel, in terms of what you are going to be looking for from AI next to give you a boost of confidence that it's, you know, it's going to become more and more useful to you and your clients? Have you got any general thoughts about where we are right now?
Yeah, I mean, I took a couple of courses, and I think I want to keep, you know, experimenting with the tools and seeing if I could get better at prompting, because that's definitely something I'm still learning. I don't think I put the greatest prompts in there, but I want to see if I can get better at that and then what I could produce. So that's something I want to keep playing with. I did have something interesting happen last week where I gave it the worst prompt ever. I was about 10 years ago, I read this book, and the book kind of ended on a cliffhanger, and I wanted to find out if the author ever wrote the sequel, but I couldn't remember the name of the book, and I only remembered like really basic points about the plot. I couldn't even remember the characters' names, so I put it into ChatGPT. I remembered like the year that I read the book. I remembered some basic facts about it, and it was basically like, oh, do you know that movie about that guy who did that thing? And ChatGPT was able to find the book on the second guess.
I need to set it free on Wordle. That's my next challenge. Here's the two characters that I'm missing. Help me out here.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They have Wordle solver things where you can put in all the letters and it will give you all the guesses.
Really? Oh, God. I wish I'd had that in the days when I thought Scrabble was a new thing, because, yeah, I am that old. The prompting thing there is a brilliant free open source prompt engineering course. I mean, of course, you can get them on Udemy or edX, Coursera, all the usual suspects. But the one that I recommend, because it's been built from the ground up with ChatGPT in mind, is learnprompting.org. And it's great. Lots of videos on there. It's got our best interests at heart, which is more than you could be said for some of our more nefarious AI practitioners. But chat.openai.com is where you can start your journey if you want to give it a try. But I would actually say speak to Rachel, because if you're coming at it from a copyright point of view, there's nobody who can give you better advice on that front. And I'm excited to see where we're not really measuring the progress of AI in years. We've seen so much improvement into this paradoxical new arrangement in the space of days and weeks. So even though our friend Sam Altman is protesting against the idea that we're going to have a ChatGPT-5 anytime soon, soon these days is probably measured in hours.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe by the time you publish this, like, I don't know, tomorrow or whatever, everything's going to be on the date that we're talking about.
Very likely. If you got one wish for AI, and it doesn't necessarily have to be about copywriting or content, if it could be about ethics, could be about regulation, is there anything? Is there one thing that you would like to see associated with AI happen in the years to come?
Well, I'm very concerned about ethics. Like, there was a story I saw in the news here a couple weeks ago. And so, phone scammers. So there's been this phone scam, and my late mother-in-law got, somebody called her years ago, and they told her that my husband was in jail and that she had to send him all this money to bail him out. So she called me, and she was very distraught because of this. And she tried calling my husband first, but she couldn't get a hold of him because he was on a job site and not answering his phone. So she was very distraught about that. But luckily, she called me to confirm before she gave these people money. But now these scammers are using AI to simulate the voices of the senior citizens' loved ones. And that is pretty terrifying, because now I think more people are going to get scammed like that. So there has to be. So I am very much concerned about the ethics and people using it for nefarious means.
Wow. Hold on tight. It's going to be a hairy ride ahead. Well, there we go. Rachel, thank you so much for that. It's been great to chat, and I'm sure we'll have more conversations in time. And if you'd like to find out more about copywriting, if you'd like to find out more about technical copywriting and work with one of the best in the biz, Rach, how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, sure. You could just connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Rachel Sparacio-Foster, or you can go to my website, which is freshperspectivewriting.com.
Okay, think of your mind as the house and your ears as the doors and windows. I'm going to come as Nick Knowles and buff up your rooms and excite your entrances. Welcome to Thacknology, the world of me, Dave Thackeray. Every day I'm trawling the web and world for ideas and inspiration to make your life a little more lavish. More often than not, it's just a plain old fun factory highlighting things to make us smarter, speedier, and smileier. Don't forget to leave me a message if you want something, anything discussed, regaled on Thacknology. I'm Dave Thackeray. I'm a writer. I like a microphone, but more importantly, I love to hear what you think. So get in, stick around, if only to keep me company. And remember, it can only get better from here. Thanks for being you. And for us, welcome to Team Thacknology.